Robotics with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hello and welcome to the 123rd episode of Robots. I am Jana and today we will be hearing about the EU Robotics Week from Thilo Brodmann, Azim Ikram and Barbara Klein. But first, let's have a look at the latest news and developments in robotics with Christine.
Thank you, Jana. The Argo project, which has deployed a network of more than 3,600 robots covering all of the world's oceans, has returned its 1 millionth measurement. The yellow underwater robots with their characteristic cylindrical body, topped by an antenna, have now been successfully used for more than 10 years for precise, long-term measurements of ocean temperatures and salt content. The robot stays submerged for up to 10 days at a time, drifting with ocean currents at a specified depth, or rising and falling in predefined paths down to depths of 2,000 meters. Upon surfacing, they send the recorded data and current position home via satellite link. The recorded data are then made freely available online in near real time. The gigantic network of robot sensors has resulted in a wealth of data, with more than 100 scientific papers published a year. However, it seems scientists on the project agree that Argo's 10-year dataset is not yet long enough to draw reliable conclusions for global change signals such as global rise in ocean temperatures. For more information on the Argo project, visit us at www.robohub.org.
The 2012 EU Robotics Week took place at the end of November last year and offered over 200 robotics-related activities and workshops in a variety of EU countries. The week was open to anyone interested in robotics and aimed to show off what robotics in the EU is all about. Thilo Brodmann is Director of EU-United Robotics and Managing Director of VDMA Robotics and Automation. He spoke to our reporter Sabine about the EU Robotics Week, its aims, achievements, and impact.
Hi, Thilo. Welcome to Robots.
Hi. Hello.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. My name is Thilo Brodmann, and I'm director at United Robotics, the European Robotics Association, which has been founded in 2004 in Brussels, Belgium.
What is the goal of EU-United Robotics?
Our members are robot manufacturers and system integrators creating a network of industry leaders in Europe. So these companies, these people are members to our association, and United Robotics has also cooperation with all the stakeholders being busy in the robot sector, from research institutes to national associations and customers.
And in the last week of November, just recently, you organized the EU Robotics Week. Can you tell us a bit more about what the goal of this week is?
Yes, we have the impression that many more people than we know today should be aware of what robotics can do for them. And I think we have three or four main target groups to address. The one message we have is, of course, robots create jobs. There are many people around who believe that the contrary is the case, that robots contribute to having less jobs because they do these jobs. This is, of course, wrong, because only with robots you can make the products as attractive as they have to be for the world market. And it can be proved looking into the automotive industry, for example, that the more robots you have in your company, the more people you employ, because this is the only way to keep up with the worldwide competition and to produce quality as it is needed by the customers. So this is the message that we address with the Robotics Week to society and to potential robot users, that robots create jobs and that it's worth looking deeper into that. This is message one. The second message is that it is really an interesting thing for young people, for young talents to work for the robotics industry, because there's a high potential in creating new kind of machines and robots. So that I think is for young people very, very interesting who are engineers to join this sector of industry. And the third message is looking a bit into the future. We believe that service robots will spread around the world, and they will help and assist people in industry, but also at home with a kind of service robots that are used at home. So those main target groups, society, potential users, current users, and young talented people, they are addressed by this European Robotics Week, and they have a lot of events they can visit in order to get the idea what's going on in robotics. And I think that is will help to make people understand how interesting this sector of industry is.
And to bring home these messages, as you said, you organize a whole range of events. Can you maybe give us a couple examples?
Yes, of course. Maybe the most interesting thing are the figures first. So it's a really impressive thing that we have during this week, which just ended yesterday. It ran from November 26 to December 2. We had 203 robotics-related activities, these so-called events. We had 21 countries from Europe participating in these events. And we had 90 participating organizations and institutes who contributed actively. So you see that the scale of this is really, really very favorable. There's a lot to see. The different activities are addressing those target groups I mentioned in the last question and answer to that. To be more specific, we have things that go for elderly people who have to be cared. So we have emotional robots who are active in this health system to get people who are ill back on track. We have founders' evenings for people who might think they have an idea with robotics and how to bring that from research to the really to the market. So people meet who have done this before, who got ramped up a business in the robotics area, and they explain to other young people with lots of interesting ideas how they managed to get from this idea to the shop floor and then from a shop floor to the market. Robots are shown to kids because kids are always very, very open for new technology. They are interested much more than the old ones, the old people. So kids from 8 to 12 years are invited to have a look at robots and what they can do. So this is a really interesting thing to just get young people interested in the sector. We have, of course, type of events that take care about business ideas, that exchange on figures which are collected in the robotics market to get given an idea what this market will develop in the future. And we have robot competitions run by pupils. These are older, of course. These are normally 13 to 16 years old, where they build robots, where they construct robots, and where they present them to people who are roboticists. And so this is a very, very interesting exchange. These are just a few examples, but on our website for the Eurobotics Week, there are all 203 listed for those people who are interested in this broad variety of events.
It is a long list. I went through them. Do you already have first impressions about the week, or is it too early?
Yes, we have, of course, collected already some feedback, especially from those events who ran in the first part of last week. So we talked to people, and it was really well visited. It was really well received. So we think that we, in the end, through the media, which of course transported the idea, that we will have some 70 to 80,000 people who in some way receive the message about robotics because they participated in the events or because they read what was in the papers or they watched what was in the TV and so on. So this is a real success to have so many people involved, and we are really looking forward to the final results, which we will have in a few days, this will show that the figures even might be a little higher than that.
Any plans for next year?
Yes, we have done it now for 2 years in 2011 and just now 2012, finishing yesterday. But the success is so intense and everybody is looking forward to continuing this idea. So there will be EU Robotics Week 2013 for sure, maybe at the same time. So let's say in the last week of November.
Excellent, Thilo. Thank you so much and good luck on the next edition.
Thank you very much.
Azim Ikram is a senior consultant in robot technology at the Danish Technological Institute in Odense, Denmark. He told Sabine about the use of robots to transport material in hospitals and their workshop during the EU Robotics Week on logistics and automation with hospital robots.
Hi Azim, welcome to Robots.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about your event at the EU Robotics Week.
The Center for Robot Technology at the Danish Technology Institute that works in the robotics field, and we are about 80 experts in the robotics, and we work in the industry, welfare, and educational robotics areas. And the European Robotics Week was in connection to that we invited different organizations and different companies from Europe to show their products. And it was a good success. We had good visitors coming to our institute.
You were organizing the workshop on logistics and automation with hospital robots, is that right?
Yes, that was one of the subjects that was regarding the welfare area that we were introducing these logistics robots for the hospitals.
Can you tell us a bit more about what these logistic robots would look like, what they do?
Yeah, we have been searching the market and looking at the different products in the market. And then we looked at one of the robots from US made by a company called Eaton. They had a robot called Tug, which was running in almost 150 hospitals now in US, and more than 500 robots work in US, and none of their robot was in Europe. So that was the starting point for us, that okay, we should try to see what the robot can do for the hospital sector. And we got the robots from them, from US, and did some tests, and started knowing the robot and started programming it. And then we had one hospital from Denmark. The name of the hospital is Sygehus Sønderjylland, like the hospital South Denmark. And they were interested in doing the test at the hospital. So we started a project with them. And since December, the Tug robot is working at the hospital, and it's transporting blood samples from the wards to the lab.
So these are transport robots. You put something on them and you program them where to go?
Yes, these are transport robots, which knows the map of the hospital. Then it has sensors, ultrasound, infrared and laser sensors, and then it knows the map, and then it runs autonomous in the hospital and delivers the things.
Okay, excellent. Why do you think robots are useful in hospitals? robots such as this one?
Yeah, because I think it is the future in the hospitals that more and more logistics tasks will be given to machines. These transport robots or transport solutions or logistics solutions have been in the hospitals for some time, but they were not very flexible. So the hospitals needed things which are flexible, and they can change the path of the robot or change the task of the robot. So from inflexible systems, now I think the hospitals are moving towards having autonomous machines or autonomous robots that can do the task for them.
There were people from the public at this EU Robotics Week. What was the general feedback from the crowd?
They are quite positive. Like, that's one of the main aim of these tests at the hospital, that we should get the input about the visitors, patients, about the hospital staff, how they take this robot in their daily in their environment. And it's very positive. Like, they are not really afraid of the machine at all.
Okay, that's excellent. So what's the focus of your current work?
We are kind of investigating on what is the business case for these robots in Denmark. Like, you know that there are AGVs, autonomous guided vehicles, which are a little bigger in size, and they need some investment to run them. So we are kind of doing some tests, I should not call it, but with the mini AGVs. Like, they are not big machines, and we are investigating what is the business case. Can they be used in the hospitals?
So this is really to commercialize it at a bigger scale, bring it to other hospitals in Europe or in Denmark?
Of course. Like, we are working in Denmark, and we have already started some work also in Germany. So that's our scope, to really bring the newer technologies and newer machines and newer robots to Europe.
What would you say is the barrier? Is it just that people need to accept it, or is it that we need to get them out there?
I think people have been investigating in Europe for many years now, almost 10 years. The hospitals have been doing tests with these logistics solutions, these autonomous robots or autonomous vehicles, but they are not very sure if this is the right direction or this is the right way to move. So in Europe, the decision process is a bit slow, I would say. So it's taking time, but now I think more and more hospitals are looking into these solutions.
All right. Thank you, Azim, for being here with us on Robots.
You're welcome.
Sabine also spoke to Barbara Klein from the University of Applied Sciences, Frankfurt am Main, in Germany. She organized a workshop on emotional robots, Paro, Pleo and Giraffe, in the healthcare sector for the EU Robotics Week.
Hi Barbara, welcome to Robots.
Yes, hello.
Tell us about your event at the EU Robotics Week.
So it was the first time we participated in the EU Robotics Week. And we have an independent living center where we show different kind of technologies for our students here in Frankfurt, but also for the public. And we thought that this is a great opportunity to have an open afternoon and to invite the public to have a look on our robots.
How can you use emotional robots in the healthcare sector?
Oh, actually, there are quite a variety of application fields, and this is one of our research topics, to find application fields for emotional robots. So currently, we have the therapeutic seal Paro and the dinosaur Pleo. And with our students, we use them, for example, in nursing care homes with people with dementia, but also with infants who have several kinds of disabilities. Or we also did a case study with a woman who has severe disabilities. And we want to find out how we can use these emotional robots. So is it similar like animal-assisted activity or animal-assisted therapy? Or do you need different kind of concepts? Those are the questions we are looking at.
Can you give us a sense of what an emotional robot is? What are the type of behaviors that these robots do?
So, the, for example, the emotional robot Perro, it looks like a cuddly seal. It's like a pet. It is covered with sensors on the body, but you don't notice it. And when you touch the seal, it reacts and it also acts. So it can move, for example, its eyelids, shake the head and flip with the paws. And it recognizes when you touch it. So when you stroke the seal and you cuddle with it, it's a very nice seal and it makes nice sounds. And you really have the impression it feels very well. But if you hit it, then it's getting really upset. And you know, oh, that was not the wrong behavior with that. And what my students found out was that, for example, people with dementia, they really liked to have the seal. They stroked it. They talked with it. They talked about it. And they really had very nice experiences. And, for example, I had one student. She used it with different children who have different kind of disabilities. And what she found out was that, for example, one child it usually had very many cramps. And when he had Perro, he was very relaxed. So this is the kind of research we are doing.
That's really interesting. It's really a good application for robotics. I was wondering, I know the Perro, which is the seal robot, the Pleo, which is the dinosaur. Can you maybe explain more about the giraffe one?
Yes. So the giraffe one, you wouldn't really say it's an emotional robot because it looks entirely different. It's not like an animal. It's like a screen on a stick which moves around. Maybe. So what it is, what the giraffe actually is a telepresence robot, similar like Skype on wheels or video conference on wheels. And we have the giraffe now for quite a while, but we are still looking for good application fields. So, for example, we had it in a nursing care home, and we just wanted to try how people react on giraffe. And some didn't like giraffe, but others, they really thought it was quite a funny kind of thing. And in the moment, we tried to do a study on the giraffe in the combination with social alarm systems.
And on the other side of the telepresence robot, do you have a healthcare worker or...?
Yeah, right. You either can have a healthcare worker, a social worker, or a nurse, and this person can then talk with the, for example, with an elderly person and to discuss, for example, their medication or their current issues, whether they should go to the GP or anything else. You can also use it, for example, for the relatives, so that they can talk with, for example, the mother who is in a nursing care home.
So you gave us some intuition for how the patients react to these robots, but how did the crowd react to these robots during the EU Robotics Week?
Oh, that was really quite interesting because we had quite a mixture of people. So we had younger people, students, we had people in wheelchairs, we had seniors coming there. And what was especially very interesting for my students was that especially the seniors and the elderly people, they really liked the robots. They didn't think they would do, you know, especially application fields of the giraffe, the telepresence robot, they found really interesting.
Tell us a bit more about the current focus of your research.
Currently, we are looking for further application fields of emotional robotics and also social robots. And we are also developing instruments for the professionals in order to find out what kind of effects emotional robots have on different application groups. So, for example, I just have a student who does his bachelor thesis on the development of an instrument to measure the effects on people with dementia. And in the next step, we will have a look on people with dementia and with behavioral symptoms such as agitation or aggressiveness. And we want to find out what kind of impact Paro has. And we have another application field, which is patients with the unresponsive wakeful syndrome. Here we are currently doing tests. And with giraffe, we want to find out in how far we can use it in our field tests. Currently, we are having a field test, which is funded by Hessen program Löwe. And in this field test, we are testing social alarms and sensor-based devices with 50 to 60 people who are 65 plus. And we want to have a look in how far we can integrate giraffe in these kind of concepts.
It's really a great range of very cross-disciplinary work. Where do the people in your lab come from?
The people come from, I'm at the Faculty of Social Work and Health, and most people have a background as social worker or as a nurse, but we also work together with economists.
Excellent. Thank you, Barbara, for being here with us on Robots.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's the end of today's episode. As always, you can find additional information, photos, and videos linked to all our episodes online at robotspodcast.com, where you can also join in topical discussions and leave feedback. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. EU Robotics with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.